Good morning, everyone. You are listening to Legal and Business Talk with Leo and Claudine here on Power Talk KFIV 1360. Today is Saturday, February 16, 2019. I am fired up. How about you, Claudine?
Absolutely fired up. This is such a great topic that we're going to approach today.
So I am your host, Leo Landaverde, founder and CEO of Greenland Advisors. We are a fractionalized accounting and advisory firm concentrating specifically on help you grow and be profitable. And Claudine does a great job and does her thing on the legal side.
Yeah, we are a business and real estate firm located in Turlock, and we focus on helping business owners stay alive in California.
Great. And so today we're going to have a great topic to discuss, and that is raising capital for your business, debt versus equity. We spent a great deal of time last week. I hope you tuned in to us last Saturday. We were talking about renting for your business versus buying. And I think we covered a lot of ground, and I'm sure you had a lot of questions. You can always find us on the web, and we make sure to remind you where you can find us, because we don't expect you to remember everything, right? And sometimes we can have so much fun with Claudine that we forget that we have an audience, right? And if we get too technical, you know, I'm sure you'll let us know. So, well, we're excited to have you back, and we're discussing important business and legal issues that affect business owners on a daily basis. And we want to help you grow and your business, but not just be profitable, but sustainable. Leo and Claudine, we help you not just make it, but keep it.
But keep it.
So, as I said, the discussion last week was about real estate as a strategy for a business. So today, we're going to talk about raising capital for your business. And I'm going to give you some stats. You know, I always like to start with some stats, Claudine. You know, I'm a numbers guy.
That's a right? numbers thing.
The Federal Reserve Bank of New York has reported that the average small business owner spends 33 hours looking for a loan.
It's just mind-boggling. And I'll tell you, anytime that my banker or my lender that I'm working with says, I'll tell you what, I'll fill out that application for you. I'm going to bring her flowers, chocolate, whatever. I know we were working with a lender last week and kind of struggling with some of the questions and getting things together. And she said, oh, you know what? I'll tell you. Let me just fill out this whole thing for you. I thought you are fabulous.
So, you know, I love working with business owners and really helping them take their idea to market. Sometimes we start at the business planning stage, but inevitably at some point, every business owner will be faced with the question is, how do I keep growing?
Correct.
Right.
Because you don't stay stagnant. We just don't see it.
Right.
It just doesn't happen.
You just don't stay in the same place. But if either you're growing and making your business profitable and brand, you know, I think everybody's, I mean, in this beautiful country of ours, we have the virtue of starting from nothing and getting somewhere.
Absolutely.
Don't you love those stories?
I love it. No, that's why I do what I do.
I think we both are passionate about seeing the spark in the eye and helping somebody go from zero to millions and have those huge exit paydays. And that's really what I'm passionate about. But we cannot neglect the lending part of it. So debt versus equity. And there's a lot of misconceptions. So let's get going on the topic today. According to Forbes magazine, the five best ways to raise capital for your business are this. Right? You start with yourself, and then are friends and family. And then you're going to banks and traditional lenders. And you have crowdfunding. And then you have sort of like what makes it on TV, those unicorns that are worth billions of dollars and raise tens of millions of dollars in equity. But not everybody gets to do that. Not
Correct.
Every business is that unicorn, you know.
And that's a very special unicorn. And if you're going to go ride the unicorn, take some lessons ahead of time.
You know, I'm sure have you ever done the Airbnb thing?
VRBOs.
Oh, VRBOs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've done Airbnb.
Okay.
But do you know the story behind Airbnb?
Vaguely.
It's really cool. So, you know, these founders started with just an idea and nobody believed in it. And basically they just, one of them had to go to a different city to looking for a place to stay. And every hotel in town was booked. There was nothing available. And then his friend, you know, is like, where are we going to stay? We need to take part of this thing. And the light bulb went on and it says, wait a minute, what if we turn this apartment where you're staying, I'm coming in,
right?
I'm going to stay at your house, but we have no money. So, and we need to raise money so we can go through this conference.
Right.
So they decided to turn the little apartment to 3 air mattresses, bed and breakfast. Air mattresses, bed and breakfast.
Right, right.
That was the birth of Airbnb. I just learned that not too long ago. But what is amazing is that for the first few years, they self-funded their business and got to the point that people started to believe, and it got some traction. So they went, you know, the path of, okay, here I am myself, and then family and friends started getting in, and then everybody else got involved, and then they raised some capital, and the rest is history, right? I think the company is worth billions, still privately held. I don't doubt that eventually, basically, they disrupted the entire hotel industry.
Absolutely, and you see the same with Uber and Lyft.
Uber and Lyft, right?
Completely revolutionized.
It's amazing. So there are primarily three main ways to raise capital for your business. Number one, you can always generate more sales.
Correct.
Right?
Work more.
You can only cut so much. I think every business owners that I work with, I'm always looking, hey, how can you generate more sales? Right? More top line. But then eventually, you need a little more. And then you go to loans.
Right.
Right? And then you go to equity. Right? Those are the three main things. And actually, I'm a certified SCORE mentor, and I do a lot of, there's a workshop coming up that we're going to be talking a lot about the simple steps to choosing the right financing and how you can take advantage of all the different things that are out there.
One of the things, too, I think that business owners need to look at is when is it appropriate to use financing? I know so many business owners kind of have the cash and carry mentality. And, you know, we're happy if we are completely debt free. We're not borrowing any money. We're self-sustaining. But there does come a point in time where you need to know when to use lending.
Right, right. And I mean, just being told that time is just slipping away before our first commercial break. But we're going to start talking about the five biggest legal mistakes companies make while raising capital. And that's your area of expertise. Yeah. And we're going to be diving right into that. But there are more ways, and financing is one of them. But there are ways that you can actually mess it up for yourself.
Yes.
And for everybody involved.
Yes.
So you got to do it right. But the opportunity is there for everybody. I think more of that is to come. So you are listening right now to Legal and Business Talk with Leo and Claudine here on Power Talk Radio KFIV 1360. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Legal and Business Talk with Leo and Claudine here at Power Talk KFIV 1360. We're very excited to have you back. If you have any questions about the show, you can feel free to call Claudine at SharonLaw-Law.com at 209-427-2200. Or you can call me, Leo, at GreenlandHQ.com 559-207-3148. So let's keep talking about it, having some fun with lending. Before you get going, because once I unleash Claudine, there's no stopping. So let me kind of throw a little story. Do you know, we're talking about when generating sales is not enough. Sometimes you can generate all the sales, but you won't be able to take advantage of market opportunities.
Right.
I love the story of Meg Whitman when she was with eBay.
Okay.
You know, that one was a unicorn, eBay, mm-hmm. right? And there was an opportunity that basically, to me, encapsulates when raising capital, it's right. If you have the right opportunity at the right time, raising capital, whether lending or private equity, may just make you a billionaire.
Well, you know that's the definition of success.
What is the definition of success?
Preparedness meets opportunity.
There you go. So there's a story of eBay and Yahoo. Right, back in the early days of the internet, when there was opportunity to get into the market of Japan. Japan is the second largest market in the world, right? So eBay was trying to get into the market. They waited. And Yahoo basically entered the market in Japan for one day sooner than eBay. And for entering the market, it captured 95% of the online auction market. And not being at the right place at the right time cost eBay a multi-billion dollar market. Mm. So that's why sometimes you got to take opportunity, and you need to raise capital. But there are also things that you need to be worried about, right? You are a business owner trying to raise capital. So I'm going to let Claudine basically walk us through some of those biggest legal mistakes that she sees companies do.
Absolutely.
Or make.
So starting off with the idea of borrowing money from friends and family, just that alone probably scares a number of people. It can be done. It just needs to be done correctly. It needs to be done with a solid contract and a solid management of expectations. If you're going to borrow money in exchange for shares of the corporation, you have to be very, very careful because you're getting into a long-term relationship with that person. I can tell you from experience, I watched my brother write some software back in the 80s that was used for court reporting. And it was the first of its kind. And at that time, no software had ever been used to transcribe stenography. In fact, my mom for 40 years sat at a typewriter. I can remember all the way, back as far as I can remember watching my mom sit at a typewriter do transcripts. He brought in some investors. He traded equity for it. And within a matter of months, he was voted out and they took his software and off they went. And it became the nexus of what was the software that closed captioning was built on.
Really?
Yeah. And wow. So it was just one of those things, just not having experience and really not relying on the right type of people to provide the resource for you. So anytime you're looking at, equity and trading equity for dollars, you have to be very, very careful. But on the bigger picture, whenever we're looking at trading equity for dollars, that whole arena is what we call in the legal world is the securities arena. It is a very highly specialized area of law. Mm. And I'll give you a couple of the basics. So first, anytime you're raising capital and you need to make sure that you're complying with federal securities laws and advertising or soliciting for investors, anytime you advertise yourself, if you put it up on the website that, hey, we're looking for investors or any type of solicitation, you need to you really need to be working with a skilled attorney because you're, with very limited exceptions, you're prohibited from general advertising or solicitation in connection with raising capital. And again, that means running ads, putting solicitations on your website. And the governing body is the SEC, and they have given a very, very broad definition of what is soliciting or what is advertising. If you're going to sell securities to non-accredited investors, and who are accredited investors? Accredited investors are people who are worth more than $1 million, and there's some variables in the definition, but essentially these are people who are very qualified to make investments. The goal for the SEC is to avoid people being sold snake oil and losing money. So they want to ensure that whoever you're dealing with, you're actually dealing with qualified investors. If you're using an unregistered person to help you find that securities money, startup companies often make the mistake of using unregistered consultants or advisors to raise their capital. Anytime somebody is receiving a commission or a type of payment for finding your capital, that type of they need to be registered with the SEC. Not vetting your investors, again, that is a really common mistake. You get involved with people, you get into a relationship, they enter your business. If you're trading money for stocks or some sort of an equity in your business, you are now in business with them and they now impact your business. Depending on how your bylaws are written or your stocks are issued, they could have voting rights. And it is a very common mistake. And in issuing preferred stock, unless your startup is raising $750,000 or more, issuing preferred stock is probably not a good idea. It's a very complicated process, and it's very time-consuming and expensive. You're likely better to use promissory notes and use a loan rather than selling the equity in your business. So a promissory note, just like any other kind of a loan, you pay the payment, you pay off the loan, it goes away. They're not part of your business. They're just somebody who lent you some money.
How often do you get involved with people who are looking to explore their options and, you know, exploring raising capital through outside sources, not loan, traditional loans?
It's surprisingly pretty often, but it's more specific to certain types of industries. Right. I see it more in product-based industries. I've got a few clients right now who we've recently done some contracts where they are looking for investors, but they're kind of in the friends and family arena still. So our role right now is just to make sure that they have a solid contract and everybody's expectations are managed, because investment is an investment. It doesn't Not necessarily is it going to be a success-only journey. You may invest in somebody's company and it may not fly 3 years from now. You could lose your investment. And so if your friends and family and your brother wants to give you $20,000 to build up your business or maybe expand your business, everybody needs to be on the right page.
Right. You know, and there you have it. I mean, there is a, you got it. I mean, I can't stress this enough. You got to get the right people on your team. And Claudine, you got to have the real legal expert to help you.
Right.
On my side, you know, I'm very excited because the landscape in today's business financing industry is changing. I mean, this is prime time for disruption. I love the industries that are being disrupted right now, because taking advantage of opportunity. Let me list a few of them. You know, the retail industry. Well, who remembers Blockbuster or Barnes and Noble or remember Borders?
Right.
Right. Well, there's Amazon and diapers.com. Right. What about the travel industry? Remember we used to go and meet with your travel agent and book it anywhere?
Yeah.
Well, what about Priceline now?
Yeah.
TripAdvisor. There's one cool little app called Hopper, which tells you the best time to purchase a plane ticket.
A plane ticket.
And it tells you, okay, you got to wait a few more days. You got to wait another week. Now, in 2 days, the price will go down by 25%. And then that day, it tells you, hey, you need to buy today.
Technology.
Just technology.
This is crazy.
The real estate industry, Zillow and auction.com, but Zillow took the market by storm. Yeah. I mean,
there was a day that you could not find a listing unless you had access to the MLS.
Correct.
And now you can virtually see everything that's on the MLS.
Right. And all of, and how about the payment industry with PayPal? You know, right. PayPal ended up selling
Cash
to
app.
eBay, right? And then Square. And then you have Venmo. Have you heard of Venmo? You can actually pay friends,
yeah.
You know, without having to write a check anymore. Nobody writes checks anymore.
Oh, yeah. When you have kids, so mine are in their 20s, and they use all of these things. It's a crazy world we're in.
Okay, so equity versus loans. Let me start getting into that. When do you use either, right? In my experience, equity is the most expensive money you'll ever part ways with.
Absolutely.
So you'd rather have a loan versus equity. However, sometimes you're not going to be able to get a loan from a traditional bank, right? So if you go to the loan path, there are multiple ways. I'm not sure if you've heard some of this, that nonprofit lenders like Axion and Tilt Forward and Kiva Zip, that they are, you can actually get a loan for like $5,000 nowadays.
Right.
And it's good for startups and micro businesses and mission driven businesses and local businesses and underserved communities. Crowdfunding, good for startups. The business owner, this is one of these crowdfunding sites that presents the business idea, and voila. I mean, and you know, if you tune into Facebook, if you any of the social media platforms, you're going to have somebody raising money through GoFundMe, right?
GoFundMe. You know, is that a phenomenon?
You know what?
That is unbelievable.
But you know what upsets me about that? You know, I get it when you're trying to raise capital through GoFundMe to a great idea, a noble idea, or some product or service you want to bring to market. But what, hey, I've seen people say, hey, you know what? I'm having this GoFundMe campaign because I can't pay my bills.
Right.
How does that make you feel?
I know some people have done it.
I know.
And I just, and then, you know, that's one step away from the fraud that takes place.
You hear about this couple that,
yes.
You know, the guy who was homeless and yeah. gave his last $20 to this couple, and then they were so grateful. And they, what happened next? They started a GoFundMe campaign. I think, was it GoFundMe or was it Kickstarter?
It was GoFundMe, or, I think.
GoFundMe, right? And they ended up raising $400,000.
Yeah, I think it was more. I think it was six.
Actually, more, right?
I think it was six. But you could be right. But it was a lot of money.
But say it was $400,000.
Right.
And the whole thing was rigged.
Yep.
So it gives a bad name to those who are legitimately
right.
trying to raise capital. But it's a great way.
It is. And if you kind of stick to the people that you know, so, you know, for example, if it's somebody within your, you know, the school district, or you, a parent of a child that you know, and they're needing a little bit of help, and you know the people and so forth, you know, I think once you get outside of your sphere of people, your orbit, you start to run a risk of getting involved in one of those, you know, unfortunate scams.
So we're going to start getting into, you know, we're going to finish this whole thing about loans before we get into equity. But, and we're going to, you know, and there's the 800-pound gorilla, which is the banks, right? And how to deal with the banks. And who knows how to deal with the banks, right? And guess what? They have the playbook.
And they have the playbook.
And you don't.
And it's a take it or leave it program.
So stay tuned, everybody. You are listening to Leo and Claudine at Legal and Business Talk here and with Power Talk KFIV 1360. And we're very excited to have you back. Stay tuned. We'll come right back. And welcome back. You are listening to Legal and Business Talk with Leo and Claudine here on Power Talk KFIV 1360. And we're talking about raising capital for your business. And what is the best way to do it? Do you go and, you know, go to the Shark Tank? Or do you actually try to talk to a bank?
Right.
We're going to spend some time talking about traditional lending, which I think is where everybody is.
Yeah.
And
it's the world we know.
It's the world we know. And what is it like dealing with a bank? You know, I don't know if I told you this, but this is one of the most common, more often I get involved with a business where they've been turned down by a bank.
Right, right.
And the bank says no.
Right.
And I just, you know, it's I can see the frustration in the business owner's eyes. Like, well, I thought I was making money and
right.
And the bank said no, and I gave him this great story. And but here's the thing. Banks are in the business of making money.
That's right.
The house is never going to lose. So if you want to get traditional lending to work for you, you have to know the game. You have to know the rules and play by those rules, right?
Feed them what they want to be fed.
Give them what they want. And honestly, I would rather a business to exhaust every possible way through traditional lending than going the equity route.
Absolutely.
Because we all laugh, you know, it's funny when it happens to somebody else that somebody walked in there raising $1 million for their company and they, you know, for against, you know, 10% of their company and they're walking away with 5% royalty and they lost their company.
Right. Well, and you see that on your favorite show, Shark Tank.
Shark Tank is my favorite show.
Well, one of your favorite shows.
One of my favorite shows. So let's talk about dealing with banks. There's three main things that banks look at. I'm going to give you right now some good stuff that you need to know. And those are the current ratio.
Okay.
The debt service coverage ratio and the debt to equity ratio.
Okay.
So the current ratio. A bank wants to know about your liquidity, which is your current assets over your current liabilities.
Okay.
And you're wondering,
what are assets?
What are assets, right? And there's two types of assets. They are fixed long-term assets, and they are your current assets. Those are the assets that you can liquidate within a year, and they are cash or cash equivalents, the money that a business will have in their checking account.
Okay.
Your AR. For most businesses, AR, if it is collected within 90 days, it's part of your current assets.
What about real estate, if you bought your building?
Okay. So if you, okay, but that your building, okay, so let's play that. So if you bought a building, that building, it's sitting in a balance sheet and a separate LLC,
mm-hmm,
that it's the landlord to you as the business, and you pay rent to them. So it probably wouldn't be on your balance sheet.
Okay.
What shows up in your balance sheet would be you want it to be separate. Right, what's going to show up in your profit and loss is going to be the rent that you pay to yourself under a separate LLC, and to do it right, so you don't want to commingle.
Oh, I see.
That would be, you know, a commingling thing, and the IRS doesn't like that.
Gotcha.
But the current ratio is your currency. You got your cash and cash equivalents. You got your accounts receivable, and for most businesses, and that's it. And anything that can be liquidated. So here's the thing about a bank: the bank is thinking that there's a chance that you may fail.
Yes, they are.
Right. And you know what they do?
Running their odds.
Yeah, they basically look at your business, and they want to make sure that you have at least 1.5. And honestly, for me, that's not enough. So that means that if everything hit the fan, right, and there is no business, they're going to take everything and liquidate it. And if the liquidation of your business is 1.5 times what you are your current liabilities, and what are your current liabilities, right? This is stuff that needs to be paid within a year.
Okay. Does payroll fall as a current liability?
Payroll is a current liability.
Gotcha.
Right? You got your most credit card debt in your business, short-term loans in your business, all the stuff that is due, your sales payable, your sales taxes that, you know, the sales tax that is payable, accrued, but it hasn't been paid. Everything that you have, all the expenses that you have incurred in your business,
mm-hmm,
but you haven't quite paid yet.
Right.
That's your accounts payable. That's your current liabilities. So say, for instance, if a business has $150,000 worth of current assets, they want you to not have any more than $100,000 worth of current liabilities. So that it's rate of 1.5 to 1, but that's not enough for me. What I want my clients to have is twice, at least twice the amount of current assets, the stuff that you can liquidate versus the stuff that is what you have versus what you owe.
Got it.
You know, if people owe you money,
right?
Right. That's an asset to you.
Correct.
Right, because you're going to collect it.
Correct.
Now, but here's a problem. I think you know, if you've been working with me for any length of time, you know that I say that you gotta build when it's right. You gotta build by the fit. You know, if you're in a service delivery industry, you gotta build right away.
Right.
You gotta get your customers have to get their invoices so they can have to pay you right away.
Right.
Don't you like it when you send an invoice to a client and 90 days later they're like, oh yeah, what invoice? Don't remember, get it. Do you mind sending it to you again? Send it to me again. But why would you wait 90 days to find out that somebody owes you money?
Right, right.
Do you know that I actually run into customers that actually forgot to bill their clients? Gosh, I can't believe it.
No, it's not surprising to me. I know business owners, you know, whatever type of business they're in, they're so good at doing what they do, but then running the business is actually a completely different job.
Right. You got to have the systems and procedures. And yes, those are the things that I measure when I measure the health of a business. You know that I actually look at these three ratios. You know, where they have this three-step process that I do, and it's very simple. I usually go, you know what accountants do?
No, I have no idea.
They're
different breed.
That's right. But we're a different breed, but we love numbers. And we account. You know, accounting is accounting for things.
Right.
So I go and look for the things, and we account for things. And we measure your current ratio, your debt service coverage ratio, and your debt to equity. We only talked about the current ratio, but we measure those things because that tells me if you're bankable. You only get one shot to impress a bank. And believe it or not, this is like a dating game.
Right.
Right? People go, hey, I love you and I want to put a ring on you. You haven't dated the bank and you want to put a ring on the bank, right?
Right.
It's kind of how it happens. You have to understand not every bank is for your flavor. There are banks that love ag, right?
Right.
There are banks that I love law firms and service delivery businesses. There are banks that absolutely love manufacturing.
Right.
There's actually called manufacturer's bank. Right. There are banks that cater. You have to understand their language and what they want, but the ratios are the ratios. Now, which is the next one? This is the debt service coverage ratio. What is that? I'm going to tell you, but most people don't know that the bank wants you to have net income of 1.2:1, meaning that you need to have at least 20% more worth of net income than you do debt service.
And that's gross.
That is gross. So, for instance, if you have $100,000 in loan payments per year,
mm-hmm.
so if you're paying $8,333 a month worth of loan payments that are sitting in your long-term liabilities, then how much do you need to have in income to support that according to the bank? I'll tell you. Don't worry. I already did the numbers for you.
You saw me glaze over.
Yes. So you have to have $120,000 worth of net income, right? Over $100,000 worth of debt. Are you following me so far?
Yep.
That is the 1.2:1. But here is the thing that scares me is, do you know that most businesses that go out of business, that most businesses that die every year were profitable?
They just didn't know how to account for it?
They didn't know they had to account for it. They had millions of dollars in AR that they were not collecting.
All right.
And the bank will go ahead and discount anything that is over 90 days. So if you have $100,000 worth of AR, but $50,000 of that, it's over 90?
It's considered as if it doesn't exist.
Is it going to mess up your current ratio?
Yep.
Do you see how those? So you not only do you have to be profitable, you can't borrow if you don't have the ability to pay. But most people do with what I call bank balance accounting, right? They think they have money in the bank, but they don't even know the business is making money.
But it makes absolute sense, because if the bank is going to lend you money, they have an expectation that you're going to pay it back. But if you're not running your systems internally such that you're on top of collecting your ARs, if your AR is at 90 days plus,
right?
You know, how do they feel confident that they're going to get their money back?
Well, I mean, we're talking about AR as if everybody knows, it's accounts receivable.
Right. The amount of money that's owed to you.
Yeah, that is
your invoices.
Your invoices that are owed to you. Now, the last but not least is the debt to equity ratio. A bank doesn't want you to have any more than 2.5 times debt to equity. And what is equity? It's the money that you put in is the net income accumulated over time that belongs to the owners. So to me, that is, that could be a deadly thing. You know, there comes a point in time that you're so over leveraged. In their fact, I think I don't want a business to get to, if when you get about to 2.5, then 3 times, so you're basically, for every dollar of equity, you are using $3, $2.50 of leverage. Leverage is a good thing up to a point.
Explain leverage. For those who maybe.
So leverage is your ability to use resources versus what you have today.
Okay.
So, a lever allows you to move more weight. You know, if you use a lever, you can move more, you can actually lift more weight.
Right.
Than you have the ability to without it.
Right.
So when you have equity, it's the constant. But you use debt, to take what about entrepreneurship? You take advantage of market opportunities. So you're going to borrow. And I'd rather you borrow than get equity. But if you're going to borrow, if you start more than 2.5 times, you have overborrowed. I've known businesses that have 10 times, a ratio of 10:1, $10 of debt for every dollar of equity. Do you think that's a good thing?
Nope.
Can't be. Not a good thing at all. So those are the things that you have to, but aside from that, then you have to deal with personal guarantees. And who likes personal guarantees? Nobody likes, because the bank is never going to lose. So they are already assuming that you're going to lose, right? And they're going to say, well, you know what? In case you go down, we're going to take some of your personal assets.
Right.
And if you haven't done a good job to protect your assets, then you're really exposed. But stay tuned. We're going to continue talking about traditional lending and the one of the tools that you use to grow your business, debt versus equity. You listen to Legal and Business Talk with Leo and Claudine here in Power Talk AFIV 1360. We'll be right back. Some folks are welcome back. You're listening to Leo, Legal and Business Talk with Leo and Claudine here at Power Talk, KFIV 1360. And we are, can you believe it, Claudine? We are at the home stretch now.
We're in the home stretch, but we're about to learn some really, really fantastic information, because so often in business, and particularly with my industry, there's a lot of fear and there's a lot of don't do this, don't do that. And, you know, if you don't do this, you're going to get, you know, a lawsuit and so on and so forth. But, you know, the information that you have to share here is, you know, super encouraging. It's uplifting because it can be done.
Absolutely.
Not a big mystery. It's just an education piece.
And this is what I love.
Yeah.
The good news is, Claudine, there is hope.
Yes.
And I don't want you to walk away feeling, oh my gosh, I can't figure this out. You don't have to figure it out on your own. I can help you. My staff can help you. We can help you here at Greenland, HQ.com. And by all means, you know, if you have any questions about the show and you want to call our offices, if you have any legal questions, call Claudine's office at Erica 209-427-2200. And my office, Leo, at Greenland Advisors, 559-207-3148. I'd be happy to help you. You know, if it is just a five-minute conversation, if we make you better because of it and you get a loan, we want a relationship. So let's get into the fun stuff. Here's what I tell everybody. Don't go to the bank when you need money, because when you need money, it's too late. What do you think I mean by that?
By the time you figured out that, oh my gosh, I don't have enough money, the ball's already rolling.
Yes.
It's already rolling.
And this is a dating game, right? And you can only make one first impression. And you can only make one impression, and that impression better be awesome.
Right.
And banks love it when you know your stuff. And you know what? Here's the thing. It takes me literally 5 minutes to look at a set of financials and to know that you're bankable or not. Because I know what they look at. I know their playbook, and I know those ratios. And how do we do that? So because I already know what the bank is looking for, we go in there with that mindset. It's like we want to know your profit and loss. Are you profitable? There is no point of getting a loan if you're not able to pay the debt.
Right.
People think you're just going to get a loan. Now, we're talking about a traditional lender where, you know, you're going to get a great rate, prime plus two. I don't know what the prime is right now, but it's got to be low.
Right.
And to get 2 points, say a 6-7% over 5 years, that's better than going to one of those online, you know, platforms. They're plenty, and they're actually, you know, I read of one of them that they're actually APR is like 40%.
Can you imagine? 40%.
I'm not exaggerating. Some of them are not in the state, right? In the state of California. So they have different laws that they have to abide by. So you don't want to get a loan like that. Can you imagine paying $40,000 worth of interest on $100,000 in 1 year?
That's just crazy.
So here is what, you know, and you don't have to bring us to do that. You can do it yourself. But you gotta get your finances in order. You gotta know your accounting. You gotta know, I can't stress this enough, you have to understand the intricacies between your profit and loss,
right,
your balance sheet, and your statement of cash flows, right? Those three, the bank is gonna peel. They're gonna dive in. They're gonna look at your ratios. And if you remember, you know, there's your current ratio. What would your current ratio have to be for them? You remember that?
1:1.2.
1.5 over 1.
Okay.
Now, I want you to be better. But 1.5 to 1. And your debt service coverage, which is the one that is 1.2 to 1. And your debt to equity, no more than 2.5 to 1. But how many business owners do you think know that?
I would say such a small, unless they're in the accounting business.
Unless they're in the accounting business.
I mean, honestly, I practice law.
Right.
That's why I have you.
Right. So let's go back. So there's a three-step process that we take our customers, you know, through, and part of it is accounting for profit. Remember, we're not in accounting for. We're actually here to help you grow and increase in value, so you can eventually have a great payday. You know, either sell your business or have it as a cash-producing asset. It's not about the accounting. Accounting only gives us information that we need, and in this case, to get a loan. So we actually look at your profit and loss from a holistic standpoint. We look at to see how you're doing this year, how you did last year, and more importantly, the relationship between last year and this year. And is your revenue going up or is it going down? The bank is going to want to know that you're going somewhere.
Right.
So if you show the bank a set of financials where the your revenue was $2 million in 2017 and it was $1 million in 2018, that's going to give them warm and fuzzy feelings.
Yes, absolutely.
They're not going to get happy about, they're not going to be happy about a business being cut in half.
Right.
And then you look at, is it profitable, right? And are you, you know, it's your, you know, are you making enough to the bottom line? Now, I always say this, right? And I ask, you know, I have a friend of mine who owns a brokerage firm, a real estate brokerage firm.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her, hey, so, you know, tell me about your sales. You know, tell me how big is your business? You know, what are you trending? Oh, she said, oh, Leo, I have, if, you know, we're doing about $5 million. $5 million in sales, that's great. What's your gross profit? I think it's about $1 million. Okay, so what do you really have? Do you have a $5 million business or a $1 million business?
Right.
What do you think?
A $1 million business.
You have a $1 million business dressed up as a $5 million business.
Right.
So if you understand that it, everything begins at the gross profit. So you have your sales,
mm-hmm.
your discounts gives you net sales or
right.
net revenue, whatever you want to call it. And you have gross profit, is that's where I begin.
Right.
So if you have not, if you don't have any cost of goods sold, and then you have no cost to generating a sale, then your net sales is your gross profit, and then you have your operating expense, and everything else should fall to the bottom line. The bank wants you to be at least 10% profitable. Is that too much to ask to have 10 cents on the dollar's net profit?
No, it right? seems very logical.
But you know what's sad? Most businesses be lucky to get to 10%. In fact, most are losing money.
Really?
Yeah. This is the sad part. So most people are not, they don't even know they're not bankable. So here you go, right? You lost money last year and you barely made a profit. And then you show your unreconciled, messed up financials
right.
to a bank. What do you think is going to happen?
You might as well not even come back.
Right. You think you're going to have a chance with that bank again?
No.
No. They have way too many prospects. Remember, they're in the business of lending money.
Right.
Now, the good news is if what happens is, I'll say about 70% of the business that we engage with, they're not ready to deal with the bank. So we go, that's step one.
Right.
We account for where the business is at. We account for your profit. Then, so we start blueprinting for our profit. And it is, we're going to give the bank, this is an open book test.
Right.
If I know exactly where you need to be for you to have your current ratio 1.5 to 1, I'm going to help you get your business to the point that I know that it's going to produce that.
Right.
If I can help you get to 1.5 to 1, if you don't have it, you know, most businesses that I start, they're less than 1-1. So they have just as many current assets as the current liabilities, which is not good for a bank. You're not bankable.
Right.
So we get that fixed right away. And the quickest way to boost your ratio is sell more.
Or collect more.
Or collect more, right? And I think I mentioned this story a couple of weeks ago to you before we started doing this show, that I had a customer that a few years ago that they were consistently leaving about $10,000, $20,000 worth of invoices that were not billing every month just because they were sitting on somebody's desk.
Right.
Can you imagine $250,000 that hasn't been booked yet?
We see a similar problem, a little bit different, but where clients just don't have the correct contracts and they don't have the mechanism in place when they started so that when those invoices go out, they come back on time. Otherwise, there's a penalty and, right. you know, we move on them really quickly. But yeah, if you can start collecting, that's money on the table.
So I know we can talk about this for hours, but just the step. This is a very simple process. You got to know where you're at before you know where you want to go.
Right.
Then we can help you get there. And the second step after accounting for profit is blueprinting for profit, right? It's not about the revenue. It's about the bottom line profit. Profit drives everything. It
right.
drives it for your business. It drives it for the bank. Profit is like the lifeblood of your business.
Right.
The third thing is, a bank doesn't like to see a business that is a yo-yo. One year they made money,
another year they
lost money.
Right.
They want to see a history of upward mobility in terms of revenue. Let me say that again. A bank wants to see a history of upward mobility. So if you're a young business, less than a million, what they want to see is they want to see you did $300,000 in sales in 2017. You did $400,000 worth of sales in 2018. And if you do $500,000 in sales in 2017, there's a history of growth. And even better, if your profit is in alignment with that growth. If your top line and your bottom line in an alignment with upward mobility growth, I assure you that your current ratio has a better chance of standing the test with the bank.
So let me ask you, what if your debts are in line, but you're kind of flatlined? You've been sitting at maybe $300,000, $400,000 for a couple of years. You haven't dropped anything significant. I mean, obviously there's going to be some sort of a difference, but it's negligible.
Okay, so you're saying that a business that necessarily, is this business profitable?
Yes.
Okay, so you have a business that is...
We're profitable, we're just not on the climb.
Okay, so what I would advise is your best defense is an offense.
Right.
So what you need to do, if I was counseling this business owner, I would say, what do we need to do? Why your sales are flat? Have you asked yourself those questions?
Well, perhaps that's why you need the loan, is because you need to invest more in personnel or product, so on and so forth.
But I would ask, before we even get there, it's what is your gross profit? And you have a proven revenue model.
Right.
Right? If you don't have a good proven revenue model, no amount of debt is going to fix it. No amount of debt is going to fix. You don't want to throw money at a business that is not a solid, proven business.
You're not solving problems by going into debt.
Correct. But if you have a business that is defensible, and you know we haven't even talked about the intellectual property aspect of it, right. But you have a business that generates that generates sales, and for instance, it's $300,000 worth of sales, and you have 30% worth of cost of goods sold, and you have 70% gross profit year over year, and then your operating expense hasn't increased. But what if your operating expense is increasing, yet your sales are flat? Your bottom line is going to be a problem,
right?
Yes, if you have a defensible position on a business that is, it maybe you are tapped out the market that you're in. Maybe you need to open another office.
Yeah, right. You need to grow.
Then, if you need to grow, and if your line is, if business is in line, you may be candidate for a loan. And I would rather have you get prepped for a loan than get equity. You don't want to get equity until the time is right.
Right.
So we have been talking the past hour about equity versus debt, and I think Claudine and I are the opinion, if you want to push debt as much as you can before equity, and you want to have a profitable business, is a magnet for loans.
That's right.
A money-losing business is not going to just not give you a loan. You may not even be around. We want you to be around.
Right.
So we want businesses in the Central Valley to thrive. So you have been listening to Legal and Business Talk with Leo and Claudina. Hopefully this information was helpful to you. We are developing great topics in the next few weeks and months to come, and with guests. And because, you know, we want to have authentic talk and things that are going to help you. So stay tuned, and we hope to see you next week. If you have any questions, reach out to us at greenlandhq.com. That is GREENLANDHQ.com. And Sharon Law, SHERRON-law.com. We are here to help you be profitable and sustainable. Thank you.
Very good. Have a good week.
Good week.